Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
This town ain't small, it's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, if a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennies much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the Chiefs.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. 515-602-9731. You can call in, be part of the conversation. Just hit one, or listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody listening or watching that. And go subscribe if you haven't done that yet. I appreciate everybody doing that. Before we begin, I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. You can check them out. Give them a call, 720-277-0030. That's a great trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. All the drivers I know, they say they're drop dead busy. So if you're not busy, if you're not making money, give them a holler. See what you think. They do all the stuff. They got hazmat. They do special handling. They do the time sensitive stuff. What do they call it? Expedited. They even do. They have reefer units. They have all different stuff. So go check them out. Like I said, ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. And it's the phone number again, 720-277-0030. Appreciate everybody joining us. So we're just kind of kicking back to see what else everybody's doing out there. This is Friday, June 24th, is it? Right. And I tell you what, big day today for the Supreme Court. They actually released what had leaked. I mean, everything leaked. We knew it was coming. And still, this might be a crazy weekend. Y'all remember back in 2020, everything was closed down. We were kind of bumming out and everything. And then George Floyd died. And it was like that weekend, boom, riots, protests, big time. And nobody did anything. Nobody cared. So I'm thinking this might happen again. This is batting down the hatches. That's all I got to tell you. Keep your powder dry. All right. Because this is crazy stuff. I mean, you know, you're talking about freedom, people bitching about freedom. But then again, the same people that are bitching about one side of freedom, they say, well, you don't have a right to have a firearm, but I have a right to kill my baby. So that's my stance on it. Changed my mind. All right, now, in trucking news, there's a lot of stuff going on because the economy is kind of stale, so everybody's kind of like, you know, well, what are we going to do, you know? And what happens is you see, because the freight market slows, the used truck market still ain't gone down far enough, but it has taken a dip. You're seeing a lot of small trucking business going out of business. And this is what happens. When things happen, when the freight takes off and everybody's got freight and everybody needs freight hauled and truck drivers are busy, 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 new companies come in, people say, I'm getting into this. And then next thing you know, when things kind of dry up, companies start going out of business. And that's just the nature of the business, how it happens. That's just how it happens. And it's every industry. Don't think it's just trucking. It's every industry. You know, when there's a rush on plumbers, you know, people get into plumbing. And next thing you know, you got too many plumbers and people start going out of business. You know, it just happens. It doesn't happen as fast. Trucking is fast because the truck is a big commodity that is worth something. And if it ain't making money, it costs money to sit. So, you know, that kind of thing, that's a lot of drivers see that they can sell the truck faster than they can just let it sit and let the market peg back up. So a lot of times they just move it around. Just move, 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 boom, boom, boom. So we see that a lot happening, and that's what's going to happen here in the next probably year, is you're going to see that. So try to stay busy. Get to a carrier or find you some customers that are busy and kiss their butt and try to make sure you can stay busy yourself and keep making that revenue. So that's what it's all about. But today's Friday, tomorrow's Saturday. Tomorrow is June 25th to 26th. There's going to be a truck show in Houston, Texas. I'll be there sometime tomorrow afternoon is when I'll be showing up. So I got to work tonight. I'm fixing to go to work. And then I'll come home, take a nap, and then head that way is what I'll do. And I plan on riding out there. I'm going to be pretty excited about doing that. There's a couple of Hardy shops on the way. I'm going to try to stop by there and pick up a poker chip and start my collection off pretty good. You know, it's kind of like you kind of got to spread out. And you got to, get all the ones in the area, then go a little further out, get all those there, go this direction, that direction, whatever you got to do. So that's what I'm working on getting that collection going. And don't want to leave anybody out in the area before I start stocking up on, out of state and all that. I mean, I guess it's not that hard to do. If you're a dedicated Harley rider, I mean, who has the most dealerships? Is it Texas? Is it California? Is it Florida? Florida is a pretty high populated state, but I would imagine because of the surface to people ratio, it's got to be California, Texas that has the most Harley dealerships. And so, who do you, who has the most as far as if you're a rider out there and you go to the Harley dealerships to get poker chips, do you have them all from one state like that? Texas, Texas, Florida, Ohio might have a lot of dealerships, but I know that Texas and California probably have the most. And do you have them all from that state, from that one state? And that kind of deal. Or, how many dealerships are there? I bet you there's some global people. And here's the rule, too. Is there a rule about riders, Harley riders? Do you, when you go travel, let's say that you're traveling, like truck drivers. You're a truck driver, but you ride a Harley and you love Harleys. And you when you get out there and you're traveling as a trucker and you may get to a point where you're sitting there, hanging out for the weekend or whatever, and there might be something going on at the local Harley shop and you go over to the Harley dealership and you hang out. Well, you didn't ride your bike over there. So is that chip count? Did you buy a chip and say, yeah, I've been to this dealership, but did you ride there? Does that count? Does that not count? What's the rule? I don't know. Let me know. On the Harley dealership. So who's got the most chips? Do you have them all from one state? Which state has the most dealerships? And what do you got for, is there a rule? Do you have to ride your bike to the Harley dealership in order to get the chip? Does that count? Or can you just stop by there? Like maybe you're flying through, maybe you're stopping there not us, we're truck drivers. We don't necessarily do business trips, but let's say that you live in Texas and you're on a business trip to New York City or to, Boston, and you just happen to be driving by and you stop at a Harley dealership and hang out for a little bit and get you a t-shirt and a poker chip. Does that count? You didn't ride your bike up there. So does that count? I don't know. But anyway, let me know, 515-602-9731. We're just hanging out here. Like I said, tomorrow I'll be at the Texas Trucking Show in Houston, Texas. I've already seen online there's a lot of people already there, and it's going to be a big deal, so we're having a lot of fun doing that. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can get all those links at our website, redneckandeyes.com, and all the links to our sponsors are on our website as well. Like I said, a great sponsor is LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. One of the other ones I like to mention, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com, and also give them a call, 800-634-3010. That's when you need particulate filters. You need them cleaned, or you need to buy some. You need some parts. You just need some know-how, people that know what they're talking about when it talks about, truck parts, and even the DPF system or the regen system what's the other thing called? The DEF, I don't know what it is. But anyway, any of those exhaust systems that you got on your trucks or any kind of pickup, any diesel engine, the people that run that, they've got a lot of know-how. A lot of experience dealing with diesel engines and especially the aftermarket or the emission stuff. So check them out. DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com. Or you can go to, it's the funny one is, let me see if this works still. www.webakem. It's bake and then M-E-M.com. If you pull up that, and it should, boom, it goes right back to DPF Regeneration. So that's awesome. It's webakem.com. And Bakem is B-A-K-E-E-M. So it's K-E-E-M. Webakem.com, DPF Regeneration, 800-634-3010. We appreciate all their support to Redneck and I's, and show them some love. Appreciate you. So, yeah, we're just kind of hanging out. And, man, I was going down the road last night, and I just kind of was like, what is the – I mean, I remember listening to the radio when I was driving, and it was, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it's like there was a lot of great music, a lot of good country music back then, and it was just – I just loved listening to, like, the 80s country, 70s country. Here it is. Here's Charlie Daniels. There you go. And so I just thought, you know, I was listening to that, and I said, you know what, I need to put that back on the radio show, because we listen to trucking music, but you know what, sometimes you just listen to good old jamming music that's good to listen to going down the road. And so so here it is. This is Charlie Daniels, Drinking My Baby Goodbye. If you know the words, let's sing along. We'll see it. This is Recognized Radio. We'll see you in a minute.
Sitting on the bar stool, acting like a darn fool, that's what I'm doing today. Sitting here drinking, trying to keep from thinking I'm a boozing my troubles away. Well, now I couldn't make her say, well, doggone her anyway, she can't say that I didn't try. Pour me another one, I'm feeling sweet, the other one, I'm drinking my baby goodbye. Every time we disagreed, she was always asking me, are you a man or a man? Now that she's gone, she probably thinks that I'm home, just a moving around the house. She probably thinks that she's the one thing I just couldn't get along without. Well, wouldn't it surprise her, I gotta sympathize her, as long as these bottles hold out.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live, 515-602-9731. Be a part of the conversation. Just hit one. Or you can also watch us on YouTube. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. That's been great for us, and we've been sharing a lot of good videos. Last week we were talking about there was a bridge up in Syracuse, New York, and so far it's been hit four times this year in 2022. And it's a no-truck route. There's plenty of signs. There's even signs on the interstate. When you take the exit, which is probably about 3 or 4 miles from the bridge, the exit says no trucks. There's a low bridge. And the latest one was an Amazon truck. They just opened up an Amazon facility just up the road from the bridge. But the route, like the GPS, will take you through that bridge, like under the bridge, because it's like the shortest, quickest way to avoid like red lights and turns and all that stuff. So there was some good news reports on there, and I was able to get them on the Zoom recording. And so when you watch the video, you can actually watch the news reports. And, of course, I comment on them and everything because you have to do that. You have to – if I copy it and just copy it over to the video and play the video without me actually talking over it a little bit, then they say, oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to – so by me commenting every now and then, it's not – I'm not actually playing that video. I'm actually commentating on the video. So it makes it legit, and that's cool. And like I said, you can actually see what they're talking about. The funniest thing I saw was on there is that they were talking to the residents, and the residents was like, you know, I heard that. The other guy said, did you hear that bridge got hit? And he's like, again? It's like the residents think it's funny that truck drivers are acting like idiots because they're not planning their routes and they're not following, you know, paying attention or whatever. I mean, I'm just telling you, probably the guy's got his head in his phone and they're not even paying attention to anything around them. If you went to any kind of truck driving school or you were taught properly, is that you were trained to say everything around you is a hazard, whether it be beside you, in front of you, above you, below you, everything. Because as a big truck, you know, pickup truck drivers usually just run over stuff. You know, you can't really run over things as truck drivers, and you can't really run under things as truck drivers. So you just got to – everything's a hazard. You got to be prepared for that. And we see it all the time. We see it plain and simple every day that people just hit them bridges like a bunch of idiots. So, but we got a video on there and that talking about that. And we also got videos talking to four-wheelers about how to drive around big trucks. We got a video talking about, you know, interlocking differential. So, I mean, it's great stuff over the YouTube channel. So go check it out. And like I said, we'll try to get some more info. I'm going to try to get on YouTube live this weekend while I'm in Houston for the Texas Trucking Show. I've never been. So I wanted to go check things out at the trucking show. I don't know, you know, I got some new people listening here and I wanted to make sure they understood that I did. So on the website, if you go to the texastruckingshow.com website and it has information about the truck parking. Well, it's not really anything. What it is, it shows you a map and it says, here's the car parking over here, which costs like $30 a day or $20 a day. And then there's truck parking over here in this parking lot. And it says on there, Bobtail, $30. Bobtail and Trailer, $60. Now, it doesn't say per day or nothing. So then I emailed them. I asked them. And I read it yesterday. I read it again today because I'm going to investigate this a little further because I think it's actually kind of crappy that they do it the way they did. Actually, I'm trying to scroll down here because it's right here. It's so I asked him. I said, and parking for trucks is it per day? No, what did I ask? Where is that? Is it? Yeah, it says. First I said, is there? It says my first question is about truck parking. Is the price listed on the website for the entire event or just for each day? Is there any tailgating or lounging allowed at the parking lot? I said this, and I told them this would be my first truck show. I'm really excited. So then they replied, and they said, parking is per day and has no in-and-out privileges. Tailgating is not allowed. And I'm like, what the hell? I said, you want truck drivers to come out there and go to your truck show? But, I mean, that's truck drivers don't want to show up to that stuff. So I'm going to go check it out and see what's going on. And then maybe I can get some video feedback or get some people to express their opinion. But downtown Dallas is kind of the same way, you know, but Dallas was free. Now you can kind of come and go, but you know, they kind of controlled it a little bit more, but they had more going on in the parking lot. And here the show closes at 5 and doesn't reopen again till 10. So, and it's only 2 days. So really if you want to experience the whole show, then the deal is to get there Saturday morning, pay your day, and hopefully you can stay there overnight. Because that's the other thing I didn't ask. I should have asked. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be able to stay the whole night and then, you know, pay again, or you have to leave at the end of the day? They probably close it at the end of the day if they say that parking is per day. Because it's like how do you do that? So we'll see. We'll check that out. Looks like we got Greg calling in, chiming in. I knew he would. I knew Greg would have something to say about the truck shows, so I wanted to fire it up and get him going again.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. Another corporate truck show.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
It's corporate. It's not about the drivers. It's not about, it's all about corporate. It's a money grab. They're in there. They want your money, but they don't want you there. They don't want you to enjoy yourself. They just want you to come out there, give them your money, and walk around and look, you know what?
They don't even care about that.
You can go out here and walk around parking lots, yeah, drive up down the road, see just as many pretty trucks as you can see in that truck show.
They would probably rather just set up a drive-through and say, everybody give us $20 as you're coming through. That's what they would rather do. Just give us $20 and leave. That's what we want.
Why don't they just do that like they do your Christmas light displays?
Yeah.
Set them up to park and all in line. You just come through with a ticket booth and you just hand them $20. You drive real slow in your car through there and you boo and you ah at all the trucks. And when you go out the other end, you say, yeah, that was cool, man. I'm going to do that every year, man.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
What in the hell is wrong with these people, man? And back to that bridge.
Okay.
Getting hit. How many of those drivers that's hitting that bridge do you suppose that actually read, write, speak English?
Well, that, now
I mean,
I did. I didn't know if you've seen the video or not, but I did approach that it was an you know, and it might not even be, to me, it's not even an English issue. It's just an understanding words issue because, you know, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put, instead of it say no big trucks or no trucks, it just says no commercial vehicles. And sometimes I would think, well, maybe a truck driver just doesn't know what a commercial vehicle is. You know, it's like what's that word? Commercial? What is that?
No business in the truck.
I agree with you, but that's you know, that's what it is. It's again, also, if English is your second language, and you're getting by okay because you understand the word truck, you understand the word, no trucks, okay. But then you throw up commercial on there. Now, if I was trying to understand Spanish and I understood what the word for truck or whatever is in Spanish, you throw commercial vehicle up there in Spanish, I'm like, what? You know, so that, I agree with you. It's there is a law in the books, FMCSA's book, the Green Book. Everybody knows it. There is a law in there that says you must be able to understand and read English. Read and understand is what it says. And so I was asking her that this is a while back. We got an influx at the big carriers. You get an influx of the foreign, people from other countries and that have second languages, English as a second language kind of thing. And so they come into orientation. Of course, the recruiters, they don't care. You know, they do whatever they need to. The states, they don't care. The states give you an option to take the tests in your language. In the language, you know, they have options. I mean, you go to California, you can take it in Chinese or Vietnamese or whatever. So they got it all written down in certain ways. But when you come to orientation, I asked the lady that does all that stuff because she does the paperwork for the safety department and all that. I said, so when you get somebody, she goes, well, it's all play by ear. So, like, when they come in and they have a hard time filling out the paperwork, I bring them in and I sit them down in front of my desk right here and I pull that actual law out and I tell them, you need to read that and you need to explain it to me. And if they can't, then she sends them home. Recruiter calls her bitching and she's like, sorry, but that's the rule. That's the law. She might have been the only one that was doing that in the whole company. You know, so yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. English is a big, big issue. Yeah.
I don't know, dumbass. That would be my word for them.
Right, and because we know
nationality they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Now there was a bunch of so the video, like a couple of the trucks that hit that bridge were like straight trucks, so they weren't over the road truck drivers. They weren't. They probably didn't even have a CDL. You know, and that's the other thing too is like who do we let drive these moving vans or, you know, one of them was one of those Enterprise rental trucks, and they were probably delivering furniture or working for Lowe's or somebody like that, you know. So do they – there's special licenses they're supposed to have for those bigger vehicles like that that aren't necessarily, you know.
How many times has everybody heard me say, sometimes you got to be smarter than the equipment you're working with?
That's exactly right.
If you can't, you know, what are you, you can't fix stupid? Okay.
That's it.
I don't know.
It right there.
I don't know.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it was, and you know, the state, the New York, they said, the county or whoever, they had meetings, and that was in the news reports on the video I posted, that they're going to have more devices. And the guy, the local guy, was like, how many more could you need? I mean, over the years, they've put lights and they've put bells and they've put alarms and they've put signs. It's like everything they do, it still doesn't do anything. They still, you know, ignore it. Or the devices break because they either break and then they never get repaired. And you see that all the time, too, where they'll put a light up and so the light's supposed to have a sensor on it. And when the sensor gets struck, the light starts blinking like strobing, and sometimes it doesn't work right, you know, or it doesn't work at all. So that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, you know, the government ain't gonna be able to fix anything, because they're not, that's the other thing. You got incompetent people trying to prevent other incompetent people from making mistakes.
I'd say put weed activated spike strips out there, spikes in the road.
That'll definitely...
Over a certain weight, you come down through there over a certain weight that trips up spikes, you'll stop before you get to it.
Yeah, that'll definitely lower the truck a couple of inches, too.
You're damn right. It just might bring it down low enough that you can make it under there.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what do you think about my other question, though? If you're not on your bike and you go to a Harley dealership, that you've never been to, do you get the poker chip? Does that count? Can you still collect the poker chip even though you're not on your bike?
I would say not.
That's what I said.
That's part of being a Harley rider, you know. I'd say not. Because
yeah, I mean,
how do I know if you've got a Harley or not? If I own that store and I'm handing out poker chips or anybody handing out poker, how do I know you got a Harley?
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing too. People, they sell them.
I know. You might be riding a Vespa or a moped. How the hell I know? You come in there and want a poker chip.
That's like those guys that live like in Ohio or in North Carolina, and they put their bike on the trailer all the way out to Wyoming, and then they stop about an hour outside of Sturgis, and they take their bikes off the trailer and ride them in. And they say, yeah, I rode all the way here.
Yeah. Show me the video, buddy.
I want to see
the video where you unloaded out of the trailer.
Yep. When my dad was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, he'd always tell people, he's like, I live in Missouri. You got to show me.
That's right. Yeah, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think in order for you to get a poker chip, you need to ride the bike in there. You need to be on wheels when you come in there.
Yep, that's true. I agree with that, too. Cause that's, and it makes it more fun, you know? I mean, it's kind of
See, if that was the case for me, I'd never get a poker chip.
Right.
Nowhere. Mine never gets out of the garage.
Well, the weather's been nice, hasn't it? You just haven't been home.
Well, no, I've been home. I just been having other things on my plate.
Yeah, see?
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I figure, you know, it's like the panheads, knuckleheads, shovelheads, all them, you know, they've come way, way, way up price, you know, because they're collectors, you know, they're antiques.
Yeah.
I figure mine's an 01, 04, 04. Yeah. That road king of mine's an 04, and it's got 24,000 miles on it. When I die, you keep that thing long enough, man, it'd be worth a fortune one of these days. Even though all the parts was made overseas and just assembled in the U.S., at least it's still got that Harley-Davidson name on it.
That's right. Yep. Did you see the thing I sent on the message there with the redneck and eyes poker chip?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about those. I haven't ordered any yet, but I was gonna get them to so I can take them to Houston, but he couldn't have them done in time. So I said we'll just wait on ordering them, and then we'll order them sometime next month.
The way I rode mine this spring when I put it to ditch this spring first thing on that damn gravel because
yeah.
Stupid. I got thinking, man, what about one more time like that? They'll start calling me Joe Biden.
Oh man, that's funny.
Do that.
Yeah, yeah. See, you got to take your foot off. It's all about footwork, isn't that what they say? When you're
yep.
going slow or going into a rough area, it's all about footwork. And look at Biden, he come to a stop, and
yeah.
it's all about that footwork.
He can't even walk, let alone ride a bicycle.
I no kidding, man. Yep. Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, well, you know, that's legit. That, you know, I mean, I could see that happening. But that's what happens when you let rich people have those fancy bikes. I think he had those special shoes that lock his feet into the pedal or something. I don't know. It just seemed like
they used to have pedals back, and I remember back in the 80s, they came out with a pedal, and it had like a little basket, a little metal frame basket over the pedal, and you slip the toe of your shoe in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Your foot from slipping off. Remember?
Yep.
I had a buddy growing up, man. When we was young like that, he got run over with a train or something, hopping trains, and he slipped, went in under it, and took his leg off. So he only had one leg, but he had a set of them. Well, one of them on his bike, because he made his dad take the other pedal off. His dad said, "Why you want the other pedal off?" He said, because. He said, if you take my other pedal off, I'm the only one who can ride it. He said, nobody will steal my bike because they can't ride it with just one pedal. But he had one of them on there, and I tell you what, man, he could outrun just about anybody on that bike with one leg.
Yeah, see?
But he was good. But, yeah, that's they had them, and I thought that's what he had. But, you know, I just wish when he fell, he wouldn't have had a helmet on. Probably wouldn't hurt him much, but.
Well, I'm surprised. I mean, even going down like scuff your elbow or whatever. I mean that was a pretty hard fall, and they said he was
enough.
All right. Everything. Yeah, I apparently it wasn't hard enough. You know, so yeah, you're right.
It wasn't hard enough because he still got up, was able to walk away. It wasn't hard enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, did I say that out loud?
Well, you saw on there, I guess. The Department of Justice, they might be going after, they might be trying to go after these states with all of these, permits, gun permits, because when the Supreme Court ruled, you know, they're like, no, we don't like that. So we're going to probably start going after them now, you know, and
what
I guess.
What
do you mean? What?
About what?
Well,
about the concealed carry permits?
Yeah. Cause here's the thing. So, and I've got this from a couple of political commentators that I listen to on podcasts and stuff. So New York's thing, what they call a may carry state, which means that they have the authority to deny you a permit for any reason.
You got to have a reason to carry. You got to be a movie star or a politician or something or a sports, bullshit.
Right, but even then, so Ben Shapiro, I listen to him every day, and he used to live in California, and California is a may carry state also, and he had like a security professional write up a report about all of the threats against his life and his family's life, and they said he should be granted a permit based off all of this information, and the state said no, they still denied him a permit. So,
all right.
So what happened is the Supreme Court come down and said, listen, you can't just deny people a permit for any reason. You've got to set rules, and you've got to follow the rules, which means now is like as long as you you can require training, you can require, you can limit whether or not it's a certain caliber or a certain, magazine or whatever. You can do that, but it's got to be across the board. So you can't,
For every state.
And, well, what I'm saying is every state can set their own rules. So New York can set their own rules, They just have to follow those rules for everybody.
No, you can't. You can't do that. You cannot do that.
What do you mean?
If New York sets a rule, it says, okay, you can't have nothing bigger than, all right, let's use this for example, 380. All right? You can't have anything, you know, any bigger than a 380, and you can't have any more than a nine-shot magazine. Okay? As soon as you come out of New York, and, you know, if you're in another state, says, okay, say Pennsylvania, says you can have a 9mm, and you can have up to, you know, 10-shot, whatever. Okay? Now, as soon as you go into New York with that 9mm, now you're violating New York's law.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no,
now
that's
you're
what
illegal.
I mean.
That gun's illegal in New York.
Yes.
It's all right. It's legal. That's the same problem we're running into with these trucks. You got
state to state.
Every rule is different state to state. Weight laws,
yes.
Everything else.
No, what I was talking about is across the board for the people. So the may carry law, like in New York and California, where they can deny you a permit or you have to have a special reason, that's now unconstitutional. So that got released this week. So that is done.
Right.
So now New York has to come up with some rules, and those rules have to be, you know, whether it be a limit on capacity, a limit on caliber, a limit on age, a limit on training, or background check and all that, but they have to set the rules, and then anybody that meets that criteria can get a permit. So that's what's
you're contradicting yourself, though, Ed. You can't limit the caliber or the magazines in New York only, because if they limit the caliber and the limit on the magazines up there, and somebody from out of state with a concealed carry permit, if they hold responsibility, New York comes in there with a bigger caliber or a different magazine, now you're illegal. You're going to prison because you don't meet their rules and their criteria.
Right, but
you see what I'm saying?
No, but I agree with you that you're going to be illegal if you cross the state lines. But that's the state. The state has the right to set those rules.
Well, let me ask you another one. In the Constitution, when you want to go back and really go into it, when they wrote the Constitution, you had the right to keep and bear arms. Okay? We know that's there.
Yes.
Where in that Constitution, where has it said by permit only? Where did our forefathers write up that you have to have a permit to carry to keep and bear, you know, to keep and bear arms? Where does it say
no,
permit?
It doesn't. And,
it don't.
And see, so,
that's bullshit.
So,
later on, and that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem that the Supreme Court steps into. So the Supreme Court, you know, we all say that, hey, you know, we got some conservative justices and we're getting these rules down. But even with all these rules that have come out, they might have been toward the conservative side, but the justices are writing their little add-ons. And that's what Justice Kavanaugh did with the New York gun permit law, is he came in there and he wrote an additional in addition to the what do they call it? You know, the opinion that was written by Clarence Thomas. And then these other justices came in and said, well, I'm going to add to that. I just want to add to that. And when they're allowed to do that. So they add to it. Well, what I'm saying, they added to it. And that's what the Kavanaugh said. He said, they're still allowed to set rules. They just have to abide by those rules by everybody, which means that Kavanaugh just said the same thing that you don't agree with, which is, you know, yeah, it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that you have to have a permit, but I'm saying that you have to have a permit. That's what Kavanaugh just wrote in his thing.
Now, right. I agree. I agree. I will make one thing that I do agree with. You should have to have a background check. All right? And if you've got a checkered past and you've been into trouble and you've been felonies or whatever, that's okay. I can say no. All right? No. But a clean, down-to-earth person has never been in trouble with the law, never been, you know, don't have a bunch of felonies, don't have much of, you know, a history of any violence or anything, and you just want it for protection, then you should not be denied that opportunity to carry that gun. But But yeah, you can't just say like Ohio. I mean, there's a perfect example of it. Ohio ain't the only one. Each state has got this constitutional carry now, which Ohio just signed it and raised all kinds of hell over it.
Yep.
All right, when
Texas
they signed it.
Kentucky's always had it. Florida's always had it.
Right.
Yep.
Now it's 21 years old. As long as you can pass a background check and you got nothing on you, then you can, anybody can go buy a gun and you can carry it with no training, with no permit, no training, no nothing. And everybody thought, well, man, I mean, up around home, it's my baseball. Oh, yeah, that's a great deal, man. Now we can just go, we can go buy a gun, we can carry it, you know, for protection and everything else. Like I told him, one guy, he made a comment about, so I said, yeah, you'll wait. Go ahead. Yeah, you can carry it in Ohio without a permit. Yeah, well, you don't need a permit. I said, you're right. You don't need a permit in Ohio. You step your ass across into West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, any of the bordering states. Step your ass across the line, let them catch you with that gun in your pocket with no permit, and see what happens to you then.
Yeah, right.
As long as you stay in the state that you live in, you can carry that without a permit. But if you get caught out of that state in somebody else's state that's not constitutional carry, you're in deep shit.
That's right. So that's the whole point of getting a permit, is so that if there is reciprocity, you're good to go. You're always going to have that. So that's the goal of the truck driver. Truck drivers need to understand. It's just like when pot became legal for prescription only and all that. Remember, pot is still illegal for truck drivers. You cannot do it, even though it might be legal in the states. Truck drivers can't do it. So the reciprocity thing is just like it. If you're a truck driver and you think you're constitutional carry, as soon as you leave the state as a truck driver, you're no longer under that constitutional carry. You either going to have a permit or you're going to just have to follow the laws. With most states, all the good states, I mean, well, I don't know. You may know more than me because you're traveling more, but I was under the impression that pretty much Illinois, maybe New Jersey, they might have been the ones that were hard. But as long as you were in your vehicle, as long as the firearm stayed in your vehicle, then you didn't have to have a permit. You were good to go. It was like the vehicle was considered part of your domicile.
From what I understand on the permit, when I got mine, at any time that you go into a state that don't have reciprocity to your home state, you know, that your license are permitted out of, that gun has to be unloaded, magazine out of it. The magazine's got to be separate from the gun. The gun is supposed to be in a lockbox, you know, a gun safe or a lockbox somewhere in that vehicle out of reach.
Yeah.
But it has to be in a lockbox. And if you get caught or get stopped, you have to tell them you've got it. And then if they want to see it, you have to get everything out and show them. But it better not be loaded, and that magazine and gun, it better be like Illinois. If I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time in Illinois, Minnesota, New York, you know, the states that don't hold reciprocity to Ohio, and which is very few states that don't do it.
Yep.
California, which screwed California. Yep. I don't go out there anyhow.
Exactly.
But when I go into one of them, my guns, either one of them, is not hard to tear apart. So I take the mags out. I throw them in the glove box over here, lock it up, whatever. I take the gun. I take it apart. It takes 5 seconds to tear it apart. If you do it all the time and you know your firearm, you can tear it apart in 5 seconds. It don't take long. You pop it apart. You throw the pieces all in the box, in the lock box. Lock it up. Stick it under the bed. Stick it up the cupboard. Stick it wherever you want to stick it. I know where I'd like to stick it, but either way, you do that. That way, if they catch you and say, "Yeah, here it is," it's in pieces. So if somebody walks up that truck, or you get pissed off at somebody, and you know you have an altercation. What are you gonna tell them? Wait a minute, you got to give me 5 or 10 minutes here. Let me get my gun together. No. You know, it takes you, by the time you get the gun out, get the box unlocked, get the gun put together, get the magazine out there, you're dead. Anybody that's got anything or sent any threat to you, you're already dead. So that's the way I do. But I don't worry about it. my opinion is like you, you know, keep your mouth shut. Don't be blowing your mouth. Nobody needs to know that you got it but you. You're not supposed to tell. Why would you want to go tell everybody anyhow? You know, just tuck it away. Don't give them a reason to stop. You don't cause no, don't do nothing stupid, and you don't have to worry about it. You know, I don't get it. But, you know, like my opinion, I don't think anybody out here that's carrying a gun, carrying a pistol, concealed carry, you really, I mean, you may agree or disagree with me, whatever, but I really don't see any need to have anything bigger than a 9mm.
Exactly.
I really don't.
Right.
Who the hell needs a 45? As big as them things is, they're heavy, you know, for one. They're bulky. They're hard to hide. You know, they're hard to conceal.
Just really fun to shoot, though. It's really, really, really fun to shoot. That's all.
See, I don't like a 45. I don't. I never did. Now, a 357. I seen a guy here the other day had a stupid-ass 357 strapped in that big-ass hog leg. The damn barrel hung damn near clear down to his knee. He had it in a leather sheet, had a T-shirt down over the top of it, with this big leather thing hanging down almost to his knee, strapped to his leg. I said, boy, I looked at him standing there in line. I said, that's a funny-looking knife you got there. He just looked at me like I was, you know, like I had two heads. I just shook my head and walked away. I'm thinking, what in the hell do you need a gun, you know, with a 6-8-inch barrel on it for? I mean, really, it's what are you going to do? Shoot the guy in the next county? Get the hell out of here.
Well, that's what the joke was having a 50 caliber Desert Eagle was when when a guy's robbing
a burger behind a refrigerator in your neighbor's house.
In your neighbor's house, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. So you can kill the burglar in the neighbor's, behind the refrigerator in the neighbor's house.
That's awesome stuff. Yep. Well, we're coming down. Yep. No, it's all good stuff because we got to stay on top of that. I actually was talking to a guy back on Memorial Day weekend. I need to do more investigating on it because he showed me an app, the USCCA. Is that the name of the organization? The firearm. United States Concealed Carry Administration or whatever, Alliance,
right,
or whatever.
Association, so, or, yeah, Alliance, whatever it is, yeah.
So he showed me the app, and their app is really, really good, and their app actually will give you, like, when you sign up or fill it out on the app, you tell them what state you live in, and then it shows you a U.S. map, and it shows you all the states that you're good to go in. Like, then you just tap the state or, you know, tap a list of the states, and it'll give you the laws for those states. And always
when I took mine, Ed, they gave me a card. They gave me a little card, you know, like a little business card. And it told Ohio, and it told me on that card, it tells you the states that you can't carry in, that don't hold reciprocity to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I had it. I don't know. Go ahead while we're talking. I'll see if I can find it. I did have it right here. But I don't know if I still got it or not.
Right.
Because I really
didn't
pay much attention.
When I first started carrying, there was an app that I had called Legal Heat. And I always recommended it. It kept up good. But the USCCA, it was really nice. I mean, it popped up and it was fast and it showed you everything. And it kind of like highlighted a lot of things. And there's a lot of videos. So if you're more of a video person that doesn't really have time to read a bunch of stuff, then it's always good to have videos. Because I told the guy, too, I said, truck drivers, they like to listen to videos going down the road or, you know, if you got any kind of audio where they can hear it while they can go down the road, he's like, that's always better. And he said, yeah, that's what they do here and all that. So yeah, it's I love that stuff and everything. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But, yeah, like I know Minnesota was one of those states where they just all of a sudden, man, they hired a bunch of Democrats and they all of a sudden just wouldn't agree to have reciprocity to any other states, you know, and
right.
then.
Right here it is. Go ahead.
And I know Illinois was always bad. New Jersey was kind of iffy. New York is bad. And California, of course, you know, because of those may carry states like that, you know, maybe here in the future we'll have more reciprocity because of the fact that they can no longer do have a may carry a law where they can deny permits. So maybe that's a good thing for us too, out of state. That way we can, you know, it's like, yeah, they'll have different laws where it'll be a pain in the butt, kind of like Illinois. Illinois has a permit. You can right. get a carry permit. Illinois is one of those where you just apply. It just takes forever because it's got to go through their bureaucracy. But you can get an out-of-state permit. It's like $500, you know. So,
right.
So Illinois is not as bad, but Illinois is getting there. It's getting pretty bad. They said that Illinois lost more people in the last 10 years. Their population, they lost more people than any other state. I thought California might have fit that bill or New York, but they said Illinois was one of the ones. More people moved out of Illinois than any other state.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah, and, they're all running from Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the states that don't hold reciprocity to Ohio is California, Connecticut, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and Rhode Island.
Yeah, see?
That's the ones that I can't, you know, you can't carry in.
Yeah, in the Northeast up there like that, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts. Or no, Massachusetts
right.
is on there, or is it? You said Minnesota,
yeah.
So Massachusetts is
yeah.
good.
California, Connecticut, D.C.,
yep.
Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota,
yep.
New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and Rhode Island.
Yep, yep, okay. So, yeah,
That's the ones.
Yep. So, really, you're once you get over there to Vermont and New Hampshire, Maine, you're okay.
Yeah. 12 states that you're not legal to carry in. You know,
yep.
Still, well, 12 states that Ohio don't hold reciprocity to. And I'm sure that most concealed carry permits are all the same. Them states ain't going to issue a permit to anybody. The
right.
problem I got is the states that you'll see them online on Facebook. Every once in a while, you'll see these advertisements on there to call, like Arizona or New Mexico, wherever, and you can get a concealed carry permit that's valid in all these states, and you can do it online with no training. That's what I got a problem with. How do they do that?
Well, because what they do is they give you an out-of-state permit. So like Virginia does not require any training. So back when Texas you had to have a license to carry, and you had to have at least 8 to 4 hours of training. It was eight,
right.
and then it got down to four. Well, people were calling. What they were doing was they were getting this email, and they were getting this you know, in this advertisement saying, get your permit online. And so everybody was like, well, why do I need to go to a class when I can do it online? And he goes, because the online thing is not a Texas permit. You're getting an actual Virginia out-of-state permit. So you wouldn't. And the funny thing is what happened was that a lot of these states went through and said, if you live in Texas and all you have is a Virginia permit, a non-resident permit in Virginia, that's not valid. So right. now what they're saying is that, yeah, you can get that out-of-state permit, but it's still not legal. You're not still not legal.
Right.
And so you see a lot of this fall off now. You don't see that much anymore because
right.
the states now have said that if you live in Texas – and if your address is in Texas and you have a Virginia non-resident permit, that permit does not work everywhere. You know, now
right.
that Texas is constitutional carry, you don't see that because it doesn't matter. But
right.
but that's the thing. That's the deal. Is they're just issuing non-resident permits. They were because a lot of these states, like I think Virginia, even changed their law too, where you can't Either you can't get that permit, like you have to have your state's permit before you can get a non-resident permit for that state, or
right.
Or you can't get it. I don't know, but it was they changed the laws because of that. I mean, that was you're right. It went crazy because all they were doing is that you can do it online, and you can get a non-resident permit, and that's all that's going to happen. And that's all they were doing, you know, because I actually called the people that were doing that. I was like, what are you doing? You know, what is it? And they have to tell you that, you know, this is legit. Right. It's just, it's a non-resident permit, which means that you're good to go in Texas. But if you go to Ohio, you know, even though there's reciprocity, you're still not valid because you don't have a Texas permit.
Right.
So it was a big deal. Yeah, you're right. I agree with that.
That's like the constitutional carry in these states. It's got that. I don't agree. Like I said, I don't agree with basically with a lot of the permits as far as, but because of the Constitution. But if they're going to issue them to anybody, what is it, 21 years or older, mm-hmm. to go out and buy a pistol. You know, as long as you pass a background check, well, 21 years old, you might have just thrown your video game down, you know, that's all you've done all your life, and you go out and you say, hey, I'm 21 now. I just had a birthday. I go out and buy me a pistol. You go out and buy a firearm. Now you can carry it on the street in the state of Ohio, and they can't do nothing about it. He's had no training. He's had no range time with it or nothing else. He has no idea how that gun works or nothing. Now, if they're going to do that, they can say, okay, yeah, it's constitutional carry. You can have it. You don't have a permit. But you do have to show a certificate that shows that you had so much range time, you know, class, you know, for training, firearms training, and range time that you can handle and shoot the gun. Now, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you get one 21 years old, they go out there and they start looking on the TV shows. They're sitting there holding that gun sideways, man.
Yeah, no, I agree because
you couldn't hit the inside of a barn with it.
So we were out doing a charity ride, and we stopped off at this bar right down the street from where I live, and the guy has a big sign, like on a big poster board, written in permanent marker, and he has it in front by his front door. And he says, it says state law, no guns allowed. And in the state of Texas, you cannot carry a firearm in a bar. Okay,
right.
that's the state law. Right. Well, you know, but he had to put a big sign up, says no guns. You know, it's a state law.
Right.
And because what happened was is when they passed the constitutional carry, which means that you don't have to take a class, you don't have to know the law, you're allowed to carry as long, like you're saying, as long as you're of age and no criminal. If you're lawfully allowed to own it, you can carry it. Well, he said people were walking in here with a firearm because it's constitutional carry. It's constitutional carry. No, you still, there still are rules. And you got to know those rules.
Right.
And a lot of these people, like you're saying, they go out and buy a firearm or they start carrying because they say it's constitution. I don't have to have a permit anymore. Well, but there's still rules, and they don't know the rules. They don't know. They walk into a bar or they walk into a post office. It's illegal. Can't do that. So they don't understand that. Like in the state of Texas, it is. I mean, the biggest law that I think gets violated a lot is that you can carry and you can open carry or conceal carry, but it's got to be in a holster or like in conceal carry, it's got to be put away. And, you know, a lot of guys just want to tuck it in their jeans, you know, like in their belt. And you're right. It's not. So yeah, that's right. So, and that's another thing they need to do. So, Chris on YouTube, he's agreeing with you and everything. And he says, I have my C. He goes, yeah, he's got a concealed, is in Virginia. They require 8-hour class in order to qualify for a concealed handgun permit. He says CHP, and I was like, what does that mean, concealed handgun permit? He goes, but I qualified because I have my hunter education, which is qualified. So there you go. See, he's got a hunter class that he took. So,
He's got, that's right. He's had gun training. He's been taught how to handle a firearm. But you got these kids going there, hey, look at here, look what I got. And they're sitting there waving it around, the barrel right on you. You know, man. Hey, guys like that make me nervous, man. Get away from me.
Exactly.
I walked in, and like another one real quick, because I know you got to get going. But I was in the truck, and I had mine on me one day. I had my shirt down over it. It was in the winter. And I stand there paying for something at the counter, a pilot, I think. And some guy's standing right behind me. You know, I must turn just the right way, and my shirt tucked up against it, you know, and you've seen it. You didn't see the gun, you've seen the outline of it, you know, on my shirt.
Right.
And we got to walk out, and he says, how you get away with that? So what do you mean? He says, you're carrying, right? I said, yeah. I said, got a permit. Were you driving a truck, right? I said, yeah. He said, how do you get away with that? He said, it's against the law to carry a commercial vehicle. I said, no, it ain't. I said, who told you that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the law. It's against the law. You cannot carry a firearm in a commercial vehicle. I said,
that is
a myth. That is what the companies,
that's
if you
what
drive
the big carriers
truck,
told you back in the day when they didn't want you. Yeah.
Yes. The companies can dictate, if you're driving a company truck, then they can tell you, yes, we want no firearms in our vehicle. They can enforce that because they own the vehicle. I said, I own my own truck. I said, what I do in that truck is my business. I said, so that's just, don't believe that. I said, you better go do your research. I said, there's no laws that prohibits firearms in commercial vehicles other than the state you run in, if they don't have reciprocity, just like I brought up Illinois. I said, if you go through Illinois, before you get to the Illinois line, you better stop somewhere, lock it, take the mag out, put it somewhere, lock it in a lockbox, put it up and covered somewhere out of reach, and go on through the state. When you get out of the state, you can take it back out, slap the mag bag in it, put it back on your side, lay it in wherever you want to put it. But I said, don't believe that. Oh, man, he said, I'm surprised they even let you guys in there. I said, that's the idea of concealed. Unless somebody opens their mouth and you go in there talking about it, then ain't nobody supposed to know you got it. And if they do, unless they got a sign up on the door, they can't force it anyhow.
Yep.
So that's either here or there. But, hey, Chris, kudos to you, man. I'm glad you had the training. Glad you got everything.
Good deal.
Happy days, brother.
There you go.
Yep. All right, Ed, I'm going to get off here because I know you got to get off here and get ready to go to work.
And sounds good.
I'm sitting here in Blacksburg, South Carolina. I can't load the Monday morning down in Greer, so I'm stuck out for the weekend. I'm going on next weekend. I'm putting air right front axle in my truck next weekend.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going to put airbags on my steer axle. Due to do springs anyhow. Springs is getting a little spongy on it. They're getting old like me. So I decided, you know, for the price of the springs, I could put airbags on it.
Right.
So
awesome.
That's what I want to do. But I'm stuck out. Robbie's stuck out. So, hey, I'll talk to you maybe, tomorrow, Saturday. Probably Monday afternoon, I'll give you a call.
Well, I was going to tell everybody here before I got off the air this weekend, like I said, I'll be at the truck show. So I'm going to try to do some YouTube live videos talking, you know, showing what's going on at the truck show. Maybe if I get a chance to talk to somebody that is in charge of the parking lot, and we'll see what's going on there and just, you know, kind of share my experience being at the truck show. So I'll try to do that on YouTube.
Some of them big company corporate guys that's down there buying the hot dogs, squirts, mustard, ketchup, all over his white shirts down there. That's what we think of you guys.
Exactly.
All right.
So,
later
on,
fellas.
All right now.
Enjoy.
Good deal. Yep.
Bye.
And also want to remind everybody that we'll also be, the Redneck and Ice is going to be in Pennsylvania in September. It's Truckers for Hope. You can go check them out at Truckers, and it's the number 4, hope.com. Truckers for Hope. And that's going to be September 23rd through the 25th, Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. Redneck and I will be there. We've already talked to the people and discussed everything like that. And that's one of those down-home country, you know, family-oriented truck shows. Little Texas is going to be there. Tony Justice is going to be there. Long Haul Paul is going to be there. And it's going to be I'm hoping that I can make it, but definitely Redneck and I will be there. You know, doing all, because we've got other people doing everything. So Greg and Tiffany, they'll be there. So check that out. Like I said, truckersforhope.com. And, you know, if you get in contact with them, let them know you appreciate Redneck and Eyes and you want to see us there or you want to see more of us. You know, we're going to try to do a lot of stuff as much as we can. But before we go, I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors. That's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. They're one of the key people that helps us make it happen to get to these truck shows and everything. So we want to appreciate all of them. Go check them out, truckertools.com. Download their app from your app store, Trucker Tools, That's the app for truckers. So go check them out. So, and then, you know, like I said, I'll be at the Houston Truck Show there tomorrow, tomorrow, Saturday, June 25th and Sunday, June 26th. And then also, like I said, we'll be there and we're going to try to have other redneckized people going to the other truck shows in the summer, but you know, we all got jobs. So we're trying to get things done that way. So appreciate everybody's support. Continue to check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And that's about it. Let's see. Let's crank it up. How about that? Okay. There you go. Oh, man, that's awesome. Mercy sakes. Mercy sakes.
Hey, how about you, Alabama? Roll on.
There you go. Boom, 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 boom. All right, guys, so don't forget to go. We're here every weekday, Redneck and Eyes Radio Live, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a call at 515-602-9731. And don't forget to check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check all of our sponsors out on our website, redneckandeyes.com. Again, that's 515-602-9731. Give us a call every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here, Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. Y'all stay safe, stay successful, and we'll see you up on down the road.
Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round Mama. They ask her when Daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and they sure miss him when he's gone.
Yeah, they do.
Ah, but he calls them every night and tells them that he loves them. He taught them this song to sing. Roll on, highway, roll on along. Roll on, Daddy, till you get back home. Roll on, family, roll on, crew. Roll on, Mama, like I ask you to do. And roll on, 18-wheeler, roll on.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.